Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's weekly podcast.
Hello.
Your hosts, the one who just said hello, yes?
Am I interrupting? I'm sorry.
No, yes, you are a host. What is your name, host?
Jen.
And your other host, Garth, along with our producer, Troy Presley, and special guest, Jamie Johnston.
Yes.
Oh, I should be one of those, like, boxing announcers, right? Be like, and Hulk, Hogan? That would really get the crowd fired up, wouldn't it?
It would.
Yes, thank you for joining us, Jamie. Here from Niigata, or Sadogashima. One of those places up there. One of those places that's not Tokyo, so, you know, us people in Tokyo are like, oh, where is that? Let's see, how has your guys' week of Mahjong been? What have you been up to? How about you?
Jen?
Host number two.
Me?
I'm number one, by the way. Just
Mahjong. I was awesome on Monday, on Sunday? Saturday.
Saturday. Yeah. Where did you play on Saturday?
Mahjong Fight Club.
Oh, very nice.
And I was awesome. And then on Monday, I didn't play Mahjong. And then on Tuesday, I played at New Zen Temple in Ginshicho, and Mahjong sucked that day. I was pretty good, but Mahjong sucked.
No, you gotta hate days like that.
And then Tuesday, oh, that was Tuesday.
The other Tuesday.
Wednesday, that was yesterday, I played Mahjong Fight Club again, and it was fine. I mean, I ended up for my CS, my club score, but yeah, it was fine.
It reminds me of that scene in The Jerk where he's telling Bernadette Peters, like, the first day was, like, 2 days, and then the second day. I have it all written down somewhere, but I'll do it. All right, well, that sounds like a productive week of sorts. I actually finished off the month pretty well myself in Fight Club. I Triple S League, so everybody's just, you know, kicking my ass at the beginning of the month. But at the end of the month, I turned about and kicked everybody else's ass. So I finished plus 500,000 CS. Which
nice.
Is pretty good, if I do say so myself.
I think it was like 150 or something.
150?
Yeah.
Not bad. For a girl.
I know. It was pretty much.
How's your week of Mahjong been, Jamie?
Not bad, I guess.
Yeah? Where have you played while you're in Tokyo?
I played at the Reach Mahjong tournament.
Oh, yes. We'll be talking about that later.
Oh, yeah. I didn't talk about that because I wasn't playing. But
right.
I was there, too.
We'll be talking about the Reach Mahjong Cup in a second. How about other places you played this week?
I mean, that was wrong, but that's a good name. Maybe we should call it that from now on.
What did they call it? The Reach Mahjong Cup or something?
The Reach Mahjong
Cup.
The .cup. And we call it the Reach Mahjong .com cup, but...
Oh, it needs a website. There needs to be a web, you know, a group of websites that their suffix is just cup.
Yeah.
Something dot cup. It's dot obviously cup. Tournaments, right? Okay, so besides the tournament, where else have? I forgot my timer. Yeah, where else have you played?
I played at the Zen Tembo that Jen was working at, and against all odds, I actually did pretty well. Most of the time it was my own worst enemy, but somehow I ended up coming out ahead at the end of the day, so I was always happy about that.
Very nice, very nice. Did you learn anything about Mahjong while you were here in Tokyo?
Don't get nervous, because then you start beating yourself up.
That is a very important lesson, for sure.
A lot of just tightening up my game a little bit. A lot of small errors that I was making that I didn't know I was making, and now I know to watch out for them.
Very good. Yes, I think that's going to be the topic of our study, or our strategy point two. You are a
also,
wealth of discussion points. Yes?
Also, producer Troy was there.
Oh, yes, playing
at
Zen Tembo.
He was playing. They were both
didn't
playing.
Didn't have quite the success from what I heard earlier.
And then...
Once again, Mahjong sucked that day.
And then Garth joined the party in Shinjuku after that, right?
I was a little late, yes.
And then after that, I joined the party in Shinjuku, too.
Yes, it was a fun day of some Mahjong and some alcohol.
Yeah, we have one more guest in studio.
Oh, yes.
I'm just totally, like, stepping on all your toes, but...
Yes, Luna is with us also, as she often is, and is prancing about the house, sometimes on beds where she's not supposed to be. That little character. All right, let's see. Let's talk about what has gone on a little bit.
Hi.
Hi, everybody, from Luna. What has been going on in the world of Mahjong this week? The Japan Open had their the final table. On the final table was a bunch of people that were not in Renmei, so of course nobody has any idea who these people
JPML.
Are.
JPML. They're not in JPML.
In JPML, yes.
Can you believe that they scheduled that the same day as I reached Mahjong
Dot Com
Cup?
The nerve of some pro associations.
I mean, just because they had it scheduled like months before.
Yeah, in fact, kind of almost years before. It's just like the 8th year they've had this tournament. But yes, the nerve of them not seeing us coming 8 years ago. Those jerks. Let's see. On the final table was Yamashita. I really hope I am getting their names right. Yamashita Kendai. He is of RMU. Kondo. Oh, a name I absolutely cannot read, from Saikoi Sen. Kaneda, I think, who was an amateur. And this is something actually I want to kind of talk about. What we call people who are not in pro associations.
Right.
So they call them, he's a general person, you know. I mean, it basically translates as general. They don't even call them amateurs, which is also, I think, kind of demeaning, too. Like, oh, he's not one of the pros.
They're like, he's just normal,
yeah.
Basically.
We don't know how in the world he made it to the final table, but we'll at least say, you know, he's on the final table, but he's an amateur, you know. It's like, come on, dude. It's a tournament. Everybody's competed at relatively the same difficulty to get there, except for the guy who won last year and gets to jump in at the end anyway. But besides that, everybody else has competed in pretty much the same tournament. Why are we still showing rankings at the end when it's a tournament? It's not about what the rankings are. It's a tournament.
Well, maybe they want to just make sure that there's no confusion in case he's going to play in the Olympics someday. Because he might, you know.
The Mahjong Olympics.
If he's shown there and he's mistakenly called a pro, then he might lose his status.
I don't know, yes.
It could be they're just thinking of him.
Right. That's for him. thank you. I'm sure he wants to say thank you to them for pointing out that he's still an amateur. But he made it to the final table, and he took second. And he lost to Kamimura. Oh, I can't read his first name.
It might be Uemura. It's not our Kamimura, right?
No, it's not. Yeah.
So it might be Uemura.
It might be Uemura.
One time a guy came in my parlor and he had the same spelling as Kamimura. And I said, is your name Kamimura? He's like, no, it's Uemura.
Uemura.
Oh, sorry.
Whoops. Yes. Oh, those tricky Japanese. They have so many ways to read their names that we can't possibly keep up. Interesting, though, this tournament is run by the Japan Professional Mahjong Association, Nihon Pro Mahjong Kyokai, and none of the association members were on the final table. Two of the members were from Saikoi Sen. I have no idea what we call that in English.
Shh, Luna, quiet. I usually call it the Saikoi NPM, National Pro or Nihon Pro Mahjong.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Because Kyokai is NPM.
Uh-huh.
Pro Mahjong Association.
Oh, okay.
And then Saikoi is SNPM. Those are the letters they use. So
two of the people on the final table were from SNPM, and one was from RMU, which is, that's Kiko.
Yep. Okay. That's the pro, what do you call it, branch of Kiko?
Pro branch of Kiko, oh, okay.
Division, I guess.
And one general person.
Who was it from RMU?
Yamashita, I believe, Kendai.
Okay.
there were nobody, obviously, was left from JPML. There were three that made it into the top 16, of them Nakamura, but they all lost in the first four games of the top 16, so they didn't make it into the semifinals either. One of the interesting things that I like about this tournament is the way that at each stage... it's each stage where they eliminate some players, they also advance some players to the next sort of step. So they have, they have Honsen, and they play four games, and they chop off, say, the bottom half. But then the top two or three players in that group automatically advance to the next day. And then they play another game, and they chop off like another eight or so players off the bottom, and then another two players advance immediately to the next day. And at each stage like that, there are people, not only are people getting chopped off the bottom, but people are getting taken off the top and automatically advancing without having to play games for the rest of that day, too. Which I think is a much more interesting way of advancing people than people just shooting into the tournament having based on their results from last year's tournament.
Right.
That seems... Anyway, we've been over this before.
We kind of have that in JPML, in like Masters and OE. If
right.
you, on the day...
I think it's just for... it's just the very top player, though, right?
Right. It's just like the top one or maybe two
right.
players.
I think the top player in Honsen goes straight to the best 16.
Is that
maybe.
Right?
It's something like that.
Or maybe
that,
it's just you get to go for Oisen, was that it? I don't remember.
I can't remember. but yes, there is a little a minor sort of I don't know, imitation of that in some of our tournaments in JPML, but it was interesting the way that I thought they did that in the NPM tournament, Japan Open. Let's see other results before we get to the really important ones, of course. Finnish tournament, Mahjong Club Tempai. They had their first tournament of history.
Yeah, this information is courtesy of Vortex, Thomas Stonen.
Also known as
Thomas
Stonen. Thanks for calling our attention to this. Perhaps because he took first.
Yes, that is true. Congratulations,
yes,
Tom.
Congratulations to Tom Vortex. For taking first in the first ever Finnish tournament run by Club Tempai in the city of Tampere. I'm sure I'm nowhere near pronouncing any of these things correctly.
Well, we probably don't even pronounce Tom's first name correctly.
Yes.
So.
behind him were Matti Tuomas, or something like that, yes, and Kristiina Kuusela finished third. Tom also, Kristiina had a plus 46 in her first game, which was almost the highest score of the day. Samuli Hirvonen also had a plus 46, but he had a minus 46 in his first game of the day, so he finished at zero. Tom had only a minus one in his second game, which meant that his plus 47 from the first game was enough for him to win the entire tournament. Just a two-game tournament. It was their inaugural tournament, so they wanted to... They just kind of wanted to have a tournament to try it out, and I guess they didn't want to make it too long. Each game had a time limit of 135 minutes, which is pretty long. Although I guess when you figure the fact that they're probably hand washing the tiles,
right.
It takes a little bit longer to set up the tiles than it does for us here in Japan, because we have automatic tables. Anyway, congratulations to Tom Mustonen, also known as Vortex Online, for winning the first ever Finnish tournament.
Yay!
So one interesting piece of news I found regarding Mahjong on Mahjong News. They had a survey of people asking if they prefer playing online Mahjong for money. 47 people of the 90 people who answered said okay, and 43 said not. So that's a 52% to 48% breakdown there. So they said, okay, most people prefer playing for money. Actually, with a sample size that small, and a margin that small also, I'd have to say that the margin of error there is probably covering the spread. It's a pretty even toss-up there on whether people like to play Mahjong online for money or not. And I have to say, while I think that you can't really play Mahjong not for money, seriously, online, I don't know if I still want to... I still don't know if I really want to play online for money, because I just can't feel like I trust the fact that, you know, everybody will be playing for himself.
Mm.
It's just too easy, you know, if you end up on a table with two guys that know each other and they're communicating with each other, there's no way you can win. There is a way. You could get extremely lucky, but it really hurts your odds of winning if it's you against you and one other guy competing against each other and against a team of two people playing on the other side of the table. So I don't know. I'm not sure about playing online for money, even though, of course, I would be in favor of playing for money in general. Otherwise, what are you playing for? Pride?
Yeah.
I've got far too much of that already. I need to win more of that.
I think that I would want to play for money online.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you just start out small, and once the field of playing of players gets big enough, then it's going to be less and less likely that people are teaming up with each other. Uh-huh. So,
if the way they get thrown together on the server is truly random,
right.
I guess it would be very unlikely. But
or
still.
Actually, I would like it to be less random. Oh, excuse me. I was just copying your little throat clear and doing it myself.
Thank you.
So. less than random, actually. They would check, like, IP addresses and stuff like that, so that at least at first, people in the same room couldn't
right.
be
yes.
together. And then
similar to
like
what
that.
They do on
in poker on sites,
poker,
yeah.
Poker sites.
Yeah.
Okay, and finally, the biggest result, the result that the entire world has been waiting for, I'm sure, reach Mahjong.com's cup.
Yes.
Sometimes also referred to as the Reach Mahjong Dot Cup. we had our first tournament of the year. We got 16 players to come out, which meant it was a huge chance for the 16 players that made it. One of them, Jamie. Thanks
it
for coming.
It was a huge overlay.
why don't we get to talk to Jamie? How did you like the tournament? Was this your first tournament ever?
This was my second tournament.
Okay.
I played in the Nihon Open.
Oh, that's right. You played in the same tournament I just played in.
Yeah.
What I was just talking about. You played in the qualifier in Niigata?
In Niigata.
Wow. How did you do up there?
I placed fifth, but it was a relatively small field. There was only like 10 or 12 players.
Okay.
So, no, wait, I placed fourth.
Fourth, okay. Well, that's a pretty good showing.
Yeah, I was at the final table.
How many people got to go from that qualifier to the Honsen?
Just one,
okay. So yeah, it's pretty tough. You've got to beat the entire field just to get out of that session.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, that's so your second tournament experience. How did it go?
I was a lot less nervous than my first. With me, it's still very much a learning experience.
Uh-huh.
I'm just once again trying my hardest not to beat myself up. So, but it was fun. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, as you relax, I'm sure you'll get your game together and keep performing better and better. We did have quite a range of levels at the tournament. We had three players from our professional league, JPML.
And one former JPML
player. Oh, yeah, and another former player. And then, for example, we had players who did not know that Menzen Sumo was a yaki.
Menzen Sumo. They probably just didn't know the Japanese for it. So.
Right.
What is that in English?
Well, I don't think she knew the English for it either. the concealed self draw,
right.
Is what we would call that. Yes. So learning experience for everybody, and very entertaining for those who did know that that was a hand point and happened to be at the same table and got a little discussion about how, oh my god, I could have won on that hand instead of throwing you 12,000 points. Oh no.
She still didn't do too bad in the first couple of games.
It was a real pity for her, because had she not done that, I think she would have been able to advance to the semifinals. but as a result of that, she advanced Naito to the semifinals by giving him 12,000 points when she could have just taken 300, 500 from everybody. The word on the street is that she was Friten. She was in a missed win at that situation, which is why she didn't reach, even though she had a good weight. She had the 4-4-5 of dots. I couldn't see from where I was standing, so I was like, why didn't she reach? And then Naito threw the 3 to reach. I was like, oh, see, you should have reached there. And then, but now you're screwed, because you have you can't win. And then she drew the 5. I was like, oh my god, how lucky are you? You drew the 5. And then she threw the 9 of dots from her hand. What? No, win. In that situation, you say, I win. Everybody give me points. Don't hand out your points. Okay, so yes, well, there was quite a range of levels there, and so we're hoping to get more players of more ranges of levels to come and play at the next tournament, which will be on the 17th of this month.
Right. That's one of the great things about the Reach Mahjong Nut Cup, is that there's so many levels, and you know, everybody, you can play against pros, you can play against your friends, and everybody, like, is, you know, going for that seat at the World Series of Mahjong Reach event, which was the winner that got a full package with
right.
airfare and hotel and entry to a $1,000 Reach event.
It was a pretty good deal. And, you know, as long as we're not getting huge numbers to these tournaments, it's a huge chance for the people who do make it out there because, I mean, when you consider the amount that you're paying to get into the tournament and the value of the whole package, it is a pretty darn good deal.
Huge overlay at this point.
Yes. So congratulations to Tanaka, who won the tournament. Tanaka, what is his first name? Do you know?
Fumitaka.
Tanaka Sumitaka.
Fumi.
Fumitaka, yes, with an F, not an S. Also, we had quite a range of people taking Paifu at the at the table. Ide, also of JPML, was standing behind me watching. Wow, we get sirens again for this this podcast. Aren't we special?
I think they're like our bodyguards. They're keeping people away. They're chasing them away.
Good location for siren here. Ide was standing behind me watching me take down the Paifu, which in English would be, I guess, what? Hand histories, yes. Mm-hmm. And I could see afterwards, I knew he was thinking, holy cow, what is wrong with this guy? And I turned around and I was like, oh, that's pretty bad too. And you could see on his face, he's like, oh, I don't want to say exactly what I was thinking. So he just didn't say anything at all.
But, you should have just handed it to him afterwards.
I know,
and
can
be
you
like,
fix this?
Yeah, just take a look. Just proofread, please.
Oh man, it's obviously Kono is doing quite a job to to figure out what happened in these hands based on what I've written down there.
Well, you know, last time I haven't finished actually the ones from the third Reach Mahjong Nut Cup, which we held in June of last year.
Uh huh. You're the one that's figuring these out?
No, I was only doing the third one because Kono wasn't there. But at that one, one person from our league who I won't name was taking, not you. Another person from our league. We had four people there from our league taking the hand histories. And after his player that he was watching reached, he just stopped writing the draws.
Whoa.
It's like reach, hands over. So we do not know what is in his discard, but well, that's what I'm saying.
Until he
magically, I'm going to remember what was in the discard, or Kono is going to remember what was in the discard, even though he wasn't there because he's that good. So we will have a full hand history.
Yes. So when you see those hand histories, don't think that they just came out of thin air. They might have.
and Muro Fushi was also taking hand histories this time.
Oh yes, thank you.
She was taking it from her husband, who is Tanaka, who won the tournament.
Somehow giving him goodwill to help him win the tournament.
Yeah.
But yes, thank you to Muro Fushi for stepping in for us and taking hand history. Also on the final table were Minakawa, formerly of JPML. A new player to the tournament, Yoneyama-san, a Mr.
Yep.
Yoneyama, and a Mr. Suzuki from one of our friends from
Tochigi. Yep.
So congratulations to the finalists, and especially to Tanaka. He gets a package to the World Series of Mahjong Reach event in August. And we hope to see a few more of you guys out there if you happen to be near Tokyo.
It's a really fun tournament. I mean, like, the winner gets that, the whole package, but everyone at the final table got an exclusive ReachMahjong.com t-shirt. The four players that did not make the final table but made the semifinals all got exclusive ReachMahjong.com bone straps.
Mm-hmm.
We also had a booby prize. So the booby prize in Mahjong tournaments is the second to last person. So you really want to try not to get last place because you'll get a prize if you get second to last place.
Right.
That's the incentive for it. So they got, Kono decided that the booby would get my book to study Mahjong.
Which is a bit of a booby prize, yes, for those non-English speakers. But they can admire the pictures.
Also, we had a bubble prize.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right.
Which is another interesting addition.
So the bubble got an MP3 player.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think those were all the... Oh, and we had a... Oh, no. Maybe the high hand was the MP3 player, and the bubble was something else.
I forget, yeah.
Well, the bubble got a prize, too. It was pretty exciting.
Good times for everybody. All right. That covers our events for... Or the news about Mahjong for the week. That brings us to our discussion of strategy for this week, which is... I don't know how to explain our strategy discussion in, like, one word. But how to open, I don't know, your opening discards.
Yes.
Opening hand strategy. How you want to begin putting your hand together, and what you should discard at the beginning of the hand, while not helping other people start putting their hands together.
Right. So how would you say that people start out when they're playing?
You mean like as when they first start playing Mahjong?
Right.
I think a lot of people, their focus is to I want to get rid of the tiles that I don't need to make a hand.
Right.
And so the obvious candidates for that are letter tiles. Mm. Would you say that's been the your honest. Strategy, Jamie?
Pretty much. I've been getting dinged on it the entire trip.
No, I only started yesterday.
So yes, one of Jen's pieces of advice to Jamie recently was to not be throwing out letter tiles willy-nilly at the beginning of the hand. Because, first of all, there are other candidates for tiles in your hand that you don't really need. For example, we call them suji tiles in Japanese.
Yeah, octaves.
We use the word octaves in English. And that refers to tiles that are three away from each other. So they'll be useful on either side of a group of two that you would have in your hand. For example, if you have the 7-8, that means that the 6 and 9 are both useful, and that's why we call the 6 and 9 an octave apart from each other,
right.
Or suji, even though they're really a three-tive apart from each other. Septive? I don't know. My Latin is not so good at the moment. But, so that means that if you have a 6 in your hand, a 6 of dots in your hand, and a 9 of dots in your hand, you probably don't really need the 9. Anything that you can use with the 9, you could also use with the 6, except for another 9. If you draw the 7 or the 8, you can use both of those with the 6. So when you have a 6 and 9 in your hand, a much better candidate for something that you don't need in your hand is that 9. Not only because you don't need it, but also because it's going to be a little more dangerous than
right.
those letter tiles.
Well, the idea is that if you have a lot of tiles in the same octave, in the same octave group, I guess. So if you have, like, 2 6s and a 9, there's a good chance that other players don't have those 6s and 9s.
Right.
Because you're taking up 3/8 of them.
Right.
So there's a good chance that they're going to want them. So the longer you hold on to them, the more dangerous they're going to get, especially if you don't see a lot of 7s and 8s around. And if
right.
you just have those 6s and 9, then there's a good chance you're not seeing the 7s and 8s. So.
Right. And so you're holding on to tiles that are going to end up being tiles that people need.
Right.
It's a good thing to get rid of those tiles first.
Right.
Also, you may not think of yourself as shobu kakateru. What is that? What is the word that we came up for that?
Stepping up to the match.
Stepping up, yes. Stepping up or taking a stand.
Battle.
When you throw out those letter tiles, like, for example, late in the game, if you've pretty much put your hand together and you decide to throw Dora, the lucky dragon, that's a situation where you're taking a stand. You're stepping up to the plate. You're just saying, okay, I've got a hand here that is worth betting, and I'm going with it. And so that's an obvious situation where you're stepping up to the plate. But you are also kind of doing that when you're throwing out those letter tiles early in the hand.
Right.
You're giving other people an opportunity to advance their hand, and you should also think about the fact there that you are kind of stepping up to the plate when you're throwing out letter tiles that could possibly be useful to other players.
Right. You're going to make it, first of all, well, it's kind of like interesting because in that way you're going to make it hard for yourself to fold later.
Right.
But on the other hand, you're also going to make it so that you have to fold later.
Right. Yes.
Because if you have, so was that a double-edged sword? Is that
yes,
right?
It's a double-edged sword. So, you're making it harder and more necessary for yourself to
right.
to
because
fold.
You're going to have these dangerous octave tiles, first of all, and so you're going to have to fold because you're not going to be able to discard those, but you're not going to have any safe tiles left to discard
right. and
for the fold.
And your hand is not really advanced at that point anyway.
Right.
So here you are, you're not in a position to be stepping up to the plate, and yet you've stepped up to the plate, and now somebody's coming back at you. They've also stepped up to the plate. and you're like, oh gosh, what do I do now? And this is something that I got chided for at our Smart
Study
Study session. My heart out looked at the way I play it, and he said, Gas no jihai wa rafu. And what he meant by that was that I'm letting go of those letter tiles, which is jihai in Japanese.
Yeah, the honors.
Too early. And I'm giving other people a chance to advance their hand. And his exact comment was like, nakaretara dou suru? You know, if somebody does steal one of those tiles, what am I going to do? Here I have, I'm not in a position to be going for a hand, and yet I've given somebody else a chance to advance their hand.
Right.
And so it would be a much better strategy to hold onto those tiles to not let other people advance their hands.
Right, and you'd think that it was like, that would mean that you're basically folding, so what's the point? Because you're not being aggressive, right? That's
right.
The first intuition that you would... but the thing is that if you have 7-8 in your hand and you have two red dragons...
Right.
If somebody discards the 9, are you going to chow that right away? Are you going to chi? Probably not.
Uh-huh.
You're probably going to wait until after you have 3 dragons.
Most people, yes, do
right.
probably play that way.
And some people might chi it, but... in a lot of situations, that's going to hurt them anyway.
Right.
So you want to discard that 9 first, because it's less likely they're going to chi from that.
Ah, right, okay.
So if you discard the honors first, then they're going to pawn that.
And then they're going to be
ready.
And then,
yeah, when you discard the 9, they're going to win on it.
Right, whereas if you do it in the other order, they probably let that first one slide, and then by the time they get to pawn the red dragon... they're still one away from ready, while you were already, I don't know, when you discarded that dragon, that's what made you ready, right?
Exactly.
And another thing, one other thing to think about that, when people do chi and pon, often what they end up pulling from their hand is something rather delicious, you know? it's a tile that they thought was going to be useful until that point, and it was still in their hand because they thought they might use it. And it's to your advantage to be waiting for those kind of tiles. You're probably likely to be waiting for a tile like that yourself. And it's to your advantage to have that tile come out when you're ready, not early on when you know you're not ready yet.
Right.
So yes, the lots of reasons I hope we've gone over there for why it's a better strategy. And this has actually been written about by Kamimura. On our website, the technique is called squeezing.
Yeah, but he was mostly talking about if you're going to play defensively.
Uh-huh.
It was less about taking the aggressive approach to it. But I would argue that it's also an offensive approach.
It is a defensive way to play aggressively. I mean, you've got to decide where to be aggressive,
right?
And being aggressive right out of the starting gate is not always the best strategy. You need
it's like
to
tight aggressive.
It's pacing yourself. you gotta play at the right pace. So yes, strategy talk for this week. Maybe think about, you know, you don't have to do this every single time, but think about holding on to letter tiles for a few extra draws. There are other tiles. Excuse me. There are other tiles in your hand that you probably don't need, especially like we're talking about, say, the 9s when you have a 6 or the 1s when you have a 4 in your hand.
Right. And even 2s when you have 5s
right.
or 8s when you have 5s.
That is also, those are also often sushi. Or even, say, a 3 when you have a 7, you know? I mean, it's possible to think about it that way as, oh, okay, well,
when you have a 6?
I mean, the 6. Yeah. 3 when you have the 6 or a 6 when you have a 3.
7 when you have a 4.
So, you know, sometimes you can think about those tiles as being less useful.
Right.
Of course, in that situation, it's a little bit more like you are folding. But, you know, maybe you're going for 3-colored runs in one direction and you'd rather have it up in that upper group anyway.
Right. So what is Jamie, this was kind of inspired by Jamie, so what do you think after listening to Garth and I ramble on about this?
Yeah.
I think I have... a lot of new stuff to think about the next time I play. I think that I'll think a lot more about which tile, or which is the least needed tile in my hand, instead of just trying to dump anything that I think would weigh it down, or instead of picking up suji that I really don't need.
Right.
So I know one of my problems, I said a few minutes ago, I do often get pawned and chied early in the game, and I do have a problem with people finishing their hands a lot faster than me. and now I kind of think that I'm the reason why.
Right, by handing out those tiles, yeah, you're pushing them along.
So I'm definitely going to change up my strategy a little bit.
Very good, very good. I feel like we have accomplished something today. All right, having accomplished something, that brings us to the end of our podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with us, I am Garth, G-A-R-T-H-E, at reachmahjong.com. And what is your address?
Jen, J-E-N-N, at reachmahjong.com. And coming up like this next week on reachmahjong.com, we'll have the results from the reachmahjong.com cup.
Very good.
Sometime in the near future, Jamie will have another Mahjong travel journal on his trip to Tokyo.
Very nice.
That's what he has to do for me letting him stay at my house.
And, yeah, I think that about covers it for this week. So that means we are off to Hanami.
Yes, we're going to go see the cherry blossoms.
Yes,
it is Hanami, the best time
Japanese
of year in
means
Japan.
Means cherry blossoms, and the whole country just goes crazy for 2 weeks, getting out of their gourds under cherry blossoms. It's interesting. There are a lot of excuses to get out of your gourd in this country, but they really go off for cherry blossoms.
Yeah, this week it seems like everybody's off work.
Yeah.
It really feels like that, and all the bars are full after the sun goes down.
Once it gets too cold to be out there, because it is really too cold to be out there.
Right.
Then everybody just goes and drinks more.
Yes.
It is a whole 2 weeks of just toastedness.
Yes.
All right. Thanks for listening in. We hope to see you again next week.
Bye bye. ポンチリーチに一発ロー南ナマジャやりましょう目指すはもちろん役満勝モニーは絶対かけましょうポンチリーチに一発ロー上がれば気分はもう最高場所はかなり錆びれたジャンスマージャンワイトクラブ ポンチリーロッ お兄さんまたそれロン